Mr. Gay Wan Gui, Rue 15. Mr. Gay, so you went down to the town in the morning to get your supply.
Yeah.
And where would you sell your pork and fish?
I would come back to the to the Andau, to the Andau settlement, you call them Andau settlement, and arrange side by side with the other vegetable hawkers and all those people. And then the people would come out and down, do the marketing. Yeah. Every morning they would do the marketing. And you have to be early, because if you're late, other people will be there selling their pork first. Yeah.
That would be along the main road.
Yeah, along the main road, quite near. No, not along the main road, just near the entrance. So this is the main road. Huh? It's near here. Just after the administration here. Or this side. I don't know which side. Is this side. This administration. And just along here. So that all the people could come out here, just along this side.
You were allowed to set up stores?
Oh yes, you were allowed to set up stores.
Any permits or license?
No, there was no need, because there was no crowding, no jostling. It was a hard life, so you say you want to do it, you do it, you see. There was no competition.
Were there any fixed prices, or did you fix
it? No, whoever could sell the cheapest, as I said, it was a question of auctioning, something auctioning, who was in need, who could pay the best price, that kind of thing, would be successful in the business.
Usually what stalls were available in the mornings?
Mostly like the wet market, Just any wet market, you could buy anything, chili, lemon, anything you would like to buy, you could buy. For your food, for preparation of food.
How long were you doing this business?
I was doing this business for some time, but I found that first of all, it was too difficult, and at very best, I could only earn my keep, and we were so suffered with pork and fish that we couldn't stand it anymore. So my wife said, let us live very simply. And we had so much, anyway, so much salted pork and salted fish to eat for the rest of our stay in Andau. Whatever we couldn't sell, we salted a lot of fish and we salted a lot of pork.
Where would you get the money to buy the pork initially?
We had brought some money up ourselves, and I said already, one sarong and my wife had some jewelry which we sold to get the money.
You mentioned that you were also teaching when you were staying at the communal hut.
Yeah.
How did you get the job?
No, as I said, that I went there. They knew I was a teacher, and Mr. Martin Chen was the principal. The administration said they would know the details of everybody in the forms we submitted originally. So they would at once get the manpower to do certain things, like sanitary inspectors, policing jobs, security guard jobs, that kind of thing.
Were you teaching at the same time when you were doing your small business?
Yes. That was later in the day. See, you could teach in the afternoon, different sessions you could choose, you see. Your morning session, afternoon session.
When did you take up teaching in the settlement?
Huh?
When did you take up the job?
I think I took it up second or third month. I have no idea, second or third month. And things was about, I think about beginning of the third month.
How much were you paid for your teaching?
I have no idea, not much, very little. And it's the same as I was getting in Singapore. Same wage.
Could Could you tell us more about what you did as a teacher there?
Oh, it was the same thing, teaching of the alphabets and short sentences, names of things in Japanese, and this is that is the kind of teaching of the second language to foreigners stuff, you know, and being ahead of the pupils, and most of the time sleeping in the teaching of English indirectly. For example, I say this is a book, Kore wa hon desu. So this is a book. Actually, the lesson the child is learning, this is a book. It's not the Japanese that he's learning. So that's how we went on.
Officially, you were supposed to teach Japanese language.
Officially, yes, officially. Everybody knows that officially we had to teach it in Japanese, but in reality, you don't know what the children were learning anyway. But children are very fast. Whatever you teach them, they absorb.
How many teachers were there in the school teaching?
1, 2, 3. Three. Mr. Tan, myself, and Martin Chen, three. Martin Chen, the principal and supervisor, Mr. Tan, who is in CGIS now, and myself.
Besides the Japanese language, were there any subjects that you were supposed to teach as well?
Not that I know of. No?
So it was strictly a language
class? Yes, strictly a language class.
How many classes were there?
I think there were two. There were two. I don't know, when I was there, there were two classes.
When would these classes be conducted? Two classes?
Who?
These two classes, were they in the mornings or in the afternoons?
They didn't start till about 9, no? Till a bit late, till about 9 to about 12 or 1. And then in the afternoon, there's a short session on what I no idea. I don't know where it's Mr. Martin Chen. He should be able to tell you more about this because he was a principal. Maybe there were other classes for adults also.
How many children were in your class?
I really can't remember. They were all playing about. And usually about a dozen or so. About a dozen at a time or so.
In each class?
I think they were all just there.
Each one of you took one class?
Yes, one class.
Normally, how old were these children when you attended your class?
Oh, they're young, about 8 or 9, 7, 8, 9. No, not older than your primary children.
How strict was the teaching? Were there any examinations or tests?
No, nothing. No examination, nothing. You just went on to keep them, I suppose. The whole organization must have something of that sort. They hope to expand. That was all. But later, how I left the school also, I don't know. I just didn't attend anymore. I don't know. All very vague now.
Did you use any textbooks for your teaching?
The same sort of textbooks that you use in Singapore, the alphabets, simple sentences.
Where would this textbook come from?
I have no idea.
Did the children learn how to write as well?
Yes, of course they have got to write the alphabets. You've got to write your reports.
Do you remember how they get their supply of stationery?
Huh? No, does any exercise books would do, I suppose.
Was there a name for the school?
No, I don't know. I can't remember.
Did you know how the school was started, or how Mr. Martin Chan became the principal of the school?
He is a Chinese educator, of course. He's a very good friend of Mr. Shinozaki, who was the director of education. I suppose Mr. Shinozaki managed to persuade him to do something about it.
Did you find out from him how he started the school?
I don't know where he is, that's why he
at that time?
No, I didn't ask him. He was at the same time running a coffee shop. Proprietor of a coffee shop. Oh yes, his coffee shop was the most famous there. In one aspect, famous not in a common way, you know. Famous in the fact that it was a gathering place of educated people, usually university graduates and so on. Really educated people, doctors, lawyers, who emigrated to Endow, teachers, and so on. They usually went to his coffee shop to chit-chat, to talk about things. Sometimes it seemed to me rather dangerous, maybe, if the things spoken were misunderstood. You might be grilled to reveal more, and you might get into serious trouble.
While you were teaching in the school, did any Japanese ever visit the school?
Oh yes, Mr. Shinozaki was very keen. He would go there to see. He was, his first concern was to see that the children of Endow was educated, did not miss their education. So he was quite anxious that education should be started among the youngsters there. You see, his idea was not to neglect the education of the young. That's the main purpose.
How frequent did he visit the school in Endow?
No, he himself did not go there very often, but as often as he went, he would be visiting the school.
What would he normally do when he visited the school?
Well, he would talk to us in English, of course I couldn't understand Japanese, and he would talk with the children. He was very fond of children. He would talk with the children and he would walk around and discuss the matters with Mr. Chen.
Do you remember whether there were any functions organized by the school for the children, or any occasions that you celebrated?
No, not that I know of. No.
How long were you teaching in this school?
That's why I don't quite remember, because I was so busy with my own affairs. The teaching was only something to keep me busy and give me some income. And as I said already, something to keep me out of trouble. If anything happened, if they asked me questions, what are you doing? I'm a teacher. And I could speak a few sentences of Japanese. That would save me a lot of trouble, quite as it quite often did.
Trouble from whom?
From maybe the Japanese themselves. I mean to say, it's quite true, you know. If you could say, I'm sorry in Japanese and just thank you in Japanese, a few words like that would soften them up. I don't know why.
mean even in Endow they would question you on what you were doing?
Naturally, see, how you do and the kind of thing, you see. It, something of that sort, you see. How do you find things here? So you got to see something.
So the Japanese visited the place very regularly?
Every now and then they do. To see how we are getting on. But always with Mr. Shinozaki. But they cannot interfere. They are not allowed to interfere with our affairs. They just come to see the conditions of life.
Who were they normally?
They have no idea.
So these would be the people who would ask you what you were doing there. These people who came with Mr. Shinozaki.
No, they have not. I have not heard them opening their mouth to anybody. But Mr. Shinozaki would. He would. Mr. Shinozaki would. But they would keep quiet. But it would be very dangerous to. You wouldn't know what they were. I say, they wouldn't tell you who they were. They would just accompany Mr. Shinozaki. Of course, they originally promised that Endow would be autonomous, that they will not interfere or in any way with the running of with Kroko having any running of the affairs of the place. But they might step in case they think, in case they thought that any one of us had done anything wrong against them, you know.
Were you ever asked by any Japanese regarding what you were doing in Endow?
Oh no. But anyway, I was asked to keep the paper which Mr. Shinozaki gave me. The paper sort of signifying that he knew me or something of the sort, that he was a good, I was his good friend and so on and so forth, with his chop. He told somebody to tell me to keep this, that if I was any time question or anything, to show the paper.
Did you ever have to use it?
No, I didn't have, fortunately.
Do you remember any pleasant or unpleasant experiences or incidents when you were teaching in the school at Endow?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, all throughout my stay there, I had no contact with the Japanese except with Mr. Shinozaki and another friend of his who just kept quiet or went along with him. And he did ask me to sing a few songs, and that was about all. And we drank beer together at the restaurant. And there was nothing unpleasant at all. That's nothing unpleasant. Only I felt a bit nervous to be in the company of Japanese. No? To be in the company of a Japanese in places like Endow was not such a good thing. No? Because it was noted as a hotbed of anti-Japanese army people.
Do you know whether the children had to pay for their schooling in Endow?
I have no idea. I didn't collect any money from them.
Oh, do you remember how was the school financed?
Again, I have no idea.
Earlier you mentioned that you built your own house. Could you describe to us how you did it?
Oh, yes, I did it by observing how the Malays build a house. How they selected the pillars from the forest trees in different sizes. The trees of such and such diameter for the main pillars, the smaller ones for the roofing, and the still smaller one recurs for the atops and so on. The only thing I couldn't do well was the last part, the last four pieces of atop to close up everything and come down by myself. That was it. And the house was pretty big. It was 36 by 12 with three rooms, one dining room and two rooms, one room for my children and one room for my wife, myself, and one center room for dining and one kitchen at the back. It was quite an achievement. I should have taken a photograph of it. So silly. And step by step, I learned and asked the advice of Malays how to tie the rattan and so on, and how to nail the primitive nails which had no head, wedge shaped nails. And I even went to the forest to learn the cutting of the bark from the trees, so that I could use the bark of the trees for the walls.
You did it all alone?
Yes, I did it all alone. And occasionally, when putting up beams, I enlisted the help of a friend or two. And then, of course, for the bedding, for the beds and so on, for the platform, I went to buy planks from a sawmill in town and downtown. I made friends with the Japanese and got some planks. And then I carried right in the planks on my shoulder, you know, right into the jungle, 2 miles right from outside, right in, and made a platform myself. Therefore, the doors and the platform. If one was desperate and observed, and one was young, one could learn a lot.
Where would you get your material, like the attack?
Or the nails? Oh yes, one could buy from the Malays in Andau village. One could buy from the Malays. And in third town, the hardware shops, you know, which you could buy nails. The wire nails were not of much use, because a few knocks in the wood was too hard, the nail would bend, the wire nails would bend. But the wedge shaped iron nails would be better, except that once the thing didn't go in properly, you couldn't pull out. Unless you use a plier. But we intended only the thing to be strong, not to be nice, so it was all right as long as you could fix the things together.
So you get all your material, including the planks, from the Andau town?
From Andau town, and a lot of them cut by ourselves. I had a good saw. As I said, your saws are all very good. The saw was the I brand made in Germany, and the axes and so on, the crocodile brand, real English steel stuff. And it was done. I mean, bit by bit it was done.
The place where you get your planks, was it a sort of private company, private shop run by a Japanese?
Well, it was a big one, big sawmill, Andau sawmill, run by Mr. Tanaka. It was a big sawmill.
Was it a private one or a military?
No. It was half military, half private, that's all.
So, how long did you take to finish your house?
But then the last... Well, the Malay came and helped me, you see. Yeah? He went up and I was below, you see? So both of us tied together. He said, this kind of job requires two persons. You see, one person, how could you put the cane through, and who wants to pull the last few threads from below? Nobody could pull it. See? So there would be two persons, one person to thread it, one person to pull it and to thread it through from below again, you see. You could not put your hand right through. So we finished it like that.
When did you move into your new house?
Well, as soon as it was ready. In fact, I moved into the new house when it was really partially ready, in the part that the rains would not come in. We left the certain parts that were open. Although the rains were coming, in fact, the door My wife said the door, one door was never made. And when it was made, there was no latch, it could never close.
So your whole family moved in before it was fully completed?
Pardon?
Your whole family moved in
yes.
before it was fully completed?
No, it was really completed except for the door without a lock. No.
Did you have to inform the administrative staff that you have moved to your land away from the communal hut?
Huh? No, we didn't inform them because they somehow other knew it because all my friends they came to sometimes they would walk around inspecting the drains, anti-malarial things, and so they say, "Hey, hello, you're here already." And they would come in and drink some water, drink some water, or I would make some coffee for them to drink and we chit chat and so on. And some other they all knew that I would be staying there. And sometimes they even helped to bring certain things for me. I was short of certain things. They would bring certain things for me. As I said, John Fan and Dr. Chen Janji and all, and so on. You see, these people, they would somehow or other know about it. There was no formal letter writing like we have in Singapore. I inform you that I have moved in such and such a date and so on. So I don't know whether they did mark change of address, so there was no number, no such thing as that. Eh?
How far away was your house from the administrative center?
2 miles. Just 2 miles.
After you have moved into your house, were you still teaching?
I think I was teaching for some time. Because I remember going downtown for Sawat Baptist, I ceased doing it, I don't know why. Yes, I can't quite remember, I think I did stop for some time.
What about your small business selling of pork and fish, did you still continue it?
No.
After
no, because it involved for the pork business it was too much. It involved waking up around about between four and five. You had to be there very early, you see. And for the fish business it was too risky. Too risky. First you might get into the hands of the Japanese for intercepting their big fish. Then secondly, when crossing a rickety bridge with a fish basket with big ikan parang and ikan bawal and so on, my bicycle and basket of fish nearly fell into the rushing stream. I would have lost my bicycle and basket of fish, and there would have been a total loss, not only of the fish but of my valuable means of transport, the bicycle, which was like a motor car. So I said it was not worth it, so I stopped.
That stream was still within the Endow settlement when you went to catch the...
No, that was different. This stream was right out of Endow Main Road into the jungle, the jungle track. Jungle track below this fish collecting center, about nearly 3/4 of a mile below, hidden. That's why, you see, these fishing boats would stop there quietly and give up those big fish first and then sail along here and come to the Japanese collecting post and say, "These are the fish we have caught," and give the Japanese a few big fish. The Japanese would be asking, "Why is your catch so poor?" Now, it could happen one day, 2 days, but not every day, You arouse their suspicion. They will know. And one day they will set the trap, the whole lot of you fall into the trap.
So everyone who was involved in fishing had to report to the Japanese?
Not report, you see. They would tell you, "We want to buy..."